Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Zero Apologies by Autumn Jones Lake. Narrated by Troy Duran and Anastasia Watley. Chapter 1. Zero. Suffocating is the only way to describe what waking up in a jail cell feels like. The smell, the noise, the lack of privacy. Every bit of it might as well be a hand around my neck choking the fuck out of me. How is it that the exact moment when the pieces of my life seem to be falling together, something plows right into it, sending everything spiraling out of control? Murphy groans above me, slowly sitting up and dangling his legs over the edge of the top bunk and jumping down.
You get any sleep? How am I supposed to sleep here?
He blinks and ignores my foul mood.
You need to be sharp when they question you.
Cops had already questioned me well into the night. I hadn't said a word, much to their irritation. I played the part of stubborn asshole well. Today, I'll take a different approach.
Frazier, let's go.
One of the guards taps the bars and unlocks the door.
Don't give me any shit,
he warns. I hold out my hand so he can cuff me and barely resist mocking him for acting like a scared little girl. What am I going to do? Beat him to death with my jail-issued canvas slip-on sneaker? I'm still furious about the whole situation, but I padlock those emotions down tight. Once the police have you on their radar, this sort of shit happens all the time. Yet one more reason Rock and I have worked so hard to forge good relationships with law enforcement in our territory whenever possible. I'm brought into an interrogation room not much different than the one where I spent most of last night. The guard guides me to a hard metal chair. I plop down and stretch my legs out in front of me. The officer who steps inside had arrived last night after I'd been handcuffed. Plain clothes, older, quiet, thoughtful. Bad sign? Probably. Another officer steps inside and stands against the brick wall. Hard to tell which one is in charge.
Who was the woman with you at the clubhouse last night?
The officer seated in front of me asks almost too casually. Strange way to open up the conversation.
Shit.
I hadn't expected them to give Lily a second thought. I absolutely cannot afford to have her dragged into any of this. I squint and scratch my chin as if I've never seen a woman in my life.
The one with your kid, he prompts. That was your kid, right?
The mention of Chance is a blade through my guts. His screams as I was handcuffed in the parking lot echoed in my head all night long.
Anything is possible.
It takes everything I have to give him a cocky smirk.
You never know. Hot piece for a random baby mama,
the one holding up the wall says.
Real nice juicy ass on that one.
The immediate rush of anger spikes my blood pressure. Under the table, I clasp my hands tighter. The comment was meant to piss me off so I'd do or say something stupid. But I'm too old and have lived through too much to ever give them the satisfaction. I shrug again. He's a persistent asshole.
She got a name?
Not that I remember. You know how it is.
Whore's willing to fuck your lowlife ass because you're a bad boy. Yeah, women are stupid that way.
I swallow down my rage and sit up.
Don't sound so bitter, man. Thought cops had badge bunnies willing to ride their dicks all the time.
He groans and I try not to laugh. I pull a phony, sympathetic grin.
Maybe go easier on the donuts and they'll come flocking to you.
Might have gone one too far there. The officer in front of me scowls and flips through a small notepad in front of him.
Let's move on,
he says, signaling to his buddy that fucking around time is over. I guess this one's in charge. The questions he fires off are all over the place, but he keeps circling back to the night Malone's burned down. More specifically, where was I when the match was lit? That's a relief. I have to be careful here. Anything I say will just be used against me later. Or they'll leverage it to push for more information, either from me or from Murphy when he gets pulled in here later. I need to be strategic in what breadcrumbs I drop. Only say things that will lead the cops where I want them to go. It's not easy on zero sleep. Flashing my, "I'm seriously trying to help you here," face, I rest my hands on the table. The handcuffs make a soft scratch clink as they land on the cheap metal. I really don't remember where I was that night. Do you remember where you were some random day a couple weeks ago? Does anyone? He pauses. Listen, I continue before he says anything else. I was either upstate, at our clubhouse, or the business we run, Crystal Ball. Right. I'm not surprised or concerned that he came up with that name so easily. That we manage the place hasn't been a secret for years. Or I was down here helping out. I've been back and forth between both clubs since our brother got shot. Haven't had much time for anything else. Because you took over as president. I roll my eyes. I didn't take over. I'd much rather be home. So someone forced you into the position. Ah, yes. Law enforcement's always trying to get some insight into how motorcycle clubs operate. So they can write it up in some handy-dandy booklet to pass out at cop school, I guess. Unfortunately for them, every single club I've run into operates differently. And no true outlaw is eager to divulge their secrets with anyone they don't share a patch with. Sure, most MCs have the same basic principles. Motorcycles, freedom from society's rules, brotherhood. All in varying degrees depending on the club. None of those values are of interest to law enforcement, though. It's all about the crimes some clubs commit to achieve those goals. I'm helping out my brothers. Brothers, he scoffs. Right. He flips to another page in his notebook. You happen to know where James Simon is? We've had trouble locating him. I bet you have. Good old Jimmy Shadow Simon. Forgot the fucker even had another name for a minute. Interesting they want to find him at all. Is he a person of interest in whatever the fuck they're busting my balls about? Is he a snitch? Or are they just trying to prove they know something about my club? No matter the reason for their interest in Shadow, I keep my mask of indifference in place. Told me he wanted to go nomad for a while and took off. I haven't heard from him since. Isn't that unusual for a vice president? I pretend like I'm carefully considering the question, even though the answer is pretty simple. I even toss a look over my shoulder as if I'm about to share something that would get my ass kicked if my club ever found out. Cops love drama. Leaning in and keeping my voice low, I explain, yes and no. It's inconvenient for him to take off when we have a brother in the hospital. But, as I'm sure you're aware, that's what we're all about. Being able to do what we want, when we want. Oh yeah, I'm aware. You should give it a try. No thanks. He stares at his notebook. Just some pages of chicken scratch, but it seems important to him. So you don't know who burned down Malone's bowling alley? That's what this is about. Why? Committed so many crimes you weren't sure which one we arrested you for? Actually, yes. I never got to read the supposed warrant your guy shoved in my face. Don't worry, I'm sure my lawyer will enjoy that one. His face pales slightly and he has trouble concealing the fact that he didn't know I never read the warrant. Still, he collects himself quickly and resumes his questioning. How well did you know Malone? Not at all. I met him maybe one or two times. I pause. What do you mean, did? He go down with a bowling alley? No, and be thankful for that, or we would have added felony murder. Give me a break. He stares at me for a second or two before giving me a huge piece of information. No bodies were found. Fucking weird. I could have sworn there were a bunch of people in the place. Hell, I was almost in the place when the fire started. I'm glad no one was killed. Not because I give a fuck about Malone, but because I don't want to go down for a murder I didn't commit. I sit quietly, waiting for him to add some details. We got a witness who saw you on your big black Harley near the place that night. Huh, that's a fucking lie. I was driving a truck that night. I can't exactly say that, but I'm feeling better about my situation if I'm sitting here because of a phony witness. Although, why would anyone tell such a specific lie is cause for concern. Of course, the cops themselves could always be lying to get me to admit that I was there. Gee, this is fun. That's impossible since I wasn't there on my bike that night. Truth. You know how many fucking black Harleys are in this county alone? He ignores the question and continues to study me like I'm his favorite bug under a microscope. We might need to bring it in to run some tests. The last time I was in Malone's parking lot with my bike was months ago. No way there's any evidence still around. I shrug. Knock yourself out. Change your tires recently? Nope. He stares at me. Why are you more worried about a building than my brother who's still in the hospital with a bullet in his skull? We're still working that case. Like fuck you are. Why do you want us to catch the shooters? Thought all you outlaws like to hand out your own justice. If he only knew. Nah, thinking my tax dollars ought to be good for something. He ignores that and opens up a new folder. How well do you know Anatoly Delova? Motherfucker. If I'm in this mess because of that ancient mafia boss, I'm gonna bury him. I know his son-in-law better. We have more in common. Harley enthusiasts. The one against the wall rolls his eyes. Yeah, we know. I don't tend to hang out with a lot of suit-wearing motherfuckers. I cast a contemptuous look over their cheap, ill-fitting suits. So you've never met Delova? The one in front of me prods. I didn't say that. I've met him more than a few times over the years. Take on some side jobs for him. No, I growl. Malone was in debt to Delova. For a lot. You know anything about that? No. Last I knew, his debt had been paid. You and your club are just a bunch of poor, innocent motorcycle lovers, aren't you? I'm not going to dignify his mocking comment with an answer. He leans in closer. Except somehow the evidence proves wherever there is a strong MC presence, violence will eventually follow. Bullshit. Not every MC. Don't lump us all in together. I lean in, meeting him almost halfway across the table. You can call anyone in Empire PD and they'll tell you we keep the city safe and the trash out. Sure, I get right on that. He slaps the folders in front of him closed. I think we're done.
Good. Can I go home now?
He laughs.
Not anytime soon.
Finally, they release me from the interview room. When am I getting my phone call? I ask the guard on the way back. Sure, I should have had one yesterday. Or before I got questioned today. Who the fuck knows when it'll actually happen? I'm sure they'll make up some bullshit excuse. It doesn't honestly matter. There's no fucking way I'm calling Lily. And I don't need to call a lawyer. Because I know Rock has already taken care of that by now.
Phone's broken.
The guard walking me back to my cell smirks like he's a fucking comedian. Murphy stands up when he sees me coming. The guard hesitates and looks at the cell next to ours. Yeah, I'd been shocked they put us together too, but we both figured they were probably listening in on our conversations. If that's the case, I hope they enjoy the royal fucking around we plan to give them.
Chapter 2. Lily. I thought Agony and I were already good friends. Apparently, I had no idea. Watching the man I planned to marry shoved to the ground, handcuffed, thrown in the back of a cop car. Each moment gutted me, stole a piece of me. Every second keeps replaying on a constant horrifying loop. Chance's screams, more violent than any tantrum he'd ever let loose before, lodged permanently in my soul. It took forever to calm Chance down. This was not an experience I ever wanted, for myself or for my son. Or for Z. A voice in the back of my head keeps trying to warn me that this is only the beginning of the life I'm in for if Z and I stay together. Heidi had been stoic all night, as if it was totally normal to see her fiancé handcuffed and thrown in the back of a police car. Maybe I'm not cut out for this? Rock had helped me carry a hysterical Chance into the house last night, so he knows everything. From what I could tell, he'd been on the phone with one person or another most of the night. The next morning, Hope and I are up early, sitting together at the kitchen table, sipping tea, not really talking. I think we're both still numb from shock. Rock joins us without a word, gently setting his hands on Hope's shoulders. She tips her head back, and they share some sort of unspoken communication I'm too exhausted to decipher. I'm going to go up and check on Grace. Hope stands and reaches over to squeeze my hand. I'll look in on Chance, too. Thank you. Rock gives her a quick embrace and kisses her forehead before releasing her. Once she's gone, his steady gray eyes drill into me.
We need to talk.
Saw that coming. Without saying anything, I take my tea and head toward the living room. I'm too tired to play hostess and ask if he'd like some coffee before grilling me. He sits down in the chair across from me and doesn't waste time getting to the point.
I don't think this has anything to do with your situation.
My situation. All at once it hits me. The club. Why didn't that occur to me? Z didn't blow up Senator Kelly on his own. My fearful gaze lands on Rock. Well, technically, I'm staring at his arms. I spend a lot of time studying the ink covering his hands and thick forearms. The wedding band encircling his ring finger. I remember the excitement in Hope's voice when she told me she'd picked out Rock's wedding band. He'd been in jail at the time, too. Things worked out for them. What kind of wedding band does Z want?
Lily.
While Rock's voice is gentle, it doesn't lack authority. It brings me right back to my present situation. I'm too ashamed to look Rock in the eyes. Did he help Z with the car bomb? Is Rock in danger too? Because of me. Worse, how much did Z have to tell Rock to...
Lily.
His firm voice pulls me out of the shame tunnel I'm spiraling down.
I don't know how much Z explained.
He said not to ask questions I don't want answers to, I whisper. So I didn't. God, I sound like a coward.
Good. It's better that way.
What did he tell you?
Enough to know Kelly had it coming.
He reaches over and taps the arm of my chair.
Look at me, Lily.
Slowly, I raise my eyes to meet his stare.
Are you with him? I need to know now if you're gonna bail.
My heart's thudding so loud I can't make sense of anything. I can get money for bail. He shakes his head.
Club will take care of that. Are you staying? This shit isn't easy, I understand. We all do. The club will do everything to help you through this. If you're with him.
He glances at the staircase.
I'll do what I can for you two, no matter what you decide.
The fear that seized my heart last night finally shatters. I'm not going anywhere, Rock. I probably should. It's not just about me. I have to worry about Chance, the kind of damage this lifestyle might inflict. But is it worse than the damage of being away from his father? I don't know. God help me, I can't leave Z again. I'm here. This time there's more conviction in my tone. Rock nods, apparently satisfied for now. The soft jingle of dogs' collars calls my attention to them. Ziggy throws himself down on the carpet in front of me while Zipper jumps on the couch and curls into a ball, placing his head in my lap, seeking a few scratches behind the ears. Z's not going to be thrilled I let them on the furniture, I mutter. Rock huffs out a tired laugh.
He'll understand.
Apparently, we're not done with our conversation.
Did you give your name to the officers last night?
I have to stop and think about it. They'd mostly been focused on Z and then Murphy. One of them tried to speak to me, but I never answered. As soon as possible, I slipped out of the parking lot and came home, just as Z wanted me to. I don't think so.
Good. Whose car were you driving?
Mine, I stammer out.
Murphy, switch over your plates yet?
I don't know. How can I not pay attention to something as simple as my license plates?
I'll check.
The plates were in my brother's name before. It wouldn't get traced to me right away.
Okay, that's good.
Someone knocks on the door, stirring the dogs up. Rock leaves me to answer it, and Ziggy trots along next to him. Pop, pop! Alexa yells. By her happy squeals, I assume Rock picked her up. Zipper jumps down to check out the commotion. The dogs follow behind Rock. He's carrying Alexa in one arm and has his other curled around Heidi's shoulders. Today, she looks less tough biker's old lady and more 20-something college student in crisis. To my surprise, she drops down next to me and gives me a big hug. Are you doing okay, Lily? So far, my answer's lame, but I don't have a better one. You? Just worried. Rock shakes his head and forces a hint of a smile.
If I expected anyone to get carted away for running their mouth, it's your brother, not Murphy.
Right? Heidi snorts a sad laugh. Charlotte said the same thing.
It's gonna be fine, Heidi girl, Rock says. Murphy was protecting a brother, like he's supposed to.
Heidi sniffles. I know. He was? Murphy risked jail just to stay by Z's side? Rock shifts Alexa in his lap and plucks a book off the coffee table, handing it to her.
Glassman's coming down this morning. I'm hoping he can get Murphy out.
His gaze shifts my way.
We're going to hire someone else for Z.
Isn't that the first thing I should have done when I came home last night? Call a damn lawyer? I can...
It's covered, Lily.
I try again. I can give you money for a retainer. He cuts me off with a quick head shake.
Taken care of.
He pins me with a sterner look.
What I need you to do is stay here.
I wasn't planning to go anywhere, except to visit
Heidi. Can you go upstairs and check on Hope?
Rock asks, cutting me off.
She went up to look in on Grace.
Sure. She picks Alexa up and disappears without further questions. As soon as Rock seems satisfied we're alone again, the steely-eyed biker president returns.
You cannot, under any circumstances, go visit Z.
But,
Lily, you ever visit someone in jail?
I'm sure it's not pleasant.
It's not the surroundings I'm worried about.
He leans forward, placing his elbows on his knees, inviting me to do the same.
The first thing they're going to do is take your identification and run a check on you if you go see him.
All at once, it hits me. Oh my God.
We can't afford to have the slightest connection between Z and Kelly right now. I know that shitbag wasn't prosecuted or even arrested for what he did to you, but...
No, I get it. Thank God Rock's here. Last night I had all sorts of fantasies of running down to post bail for Z as soon as things opened this morning. Will Z...
Trust me. You show up there, he'll kick my ass when he gets out.
There's no laughter in his voice. He cocks his head toward the stairs.
It's nothing personal. Heidi came to visit me once when she was younger, but I don't want her going now as Murphy's old lady. Actually, I need her to go to class today. Are you all right with Alexa staying here? Hope will be with you, and I think Trinity is coming down to help out.
I talked to Trinity only briefly last night, and while she'd said to call if I needed anything, I took it as one of those generic offers of help people blurt out in times of crisis. Of course. The kids are supposed to have their swim lessons. I'll call and cancel.
No.
Rock seems to weigh the options for a few seconds.
Keep things normal for Chance and Alexa, especially after what Chance witnessed.
The reminder has me ready to burst into tears all over again. Chapter 3. Lily.
It's okay.
Alexa holds out her hand to Chance.
Come on.
Hesitantly, Chance takes her hand and we finally lead the kids to the pool. The knot that formed in my throat the minute Chance adamantly refused to go outside for swim lessons finally loosens. Hope touches my arm. It's gonna be okay, Lily, she says softly. Still not sure I can form any words, I just nod.
Look at you, Hot Mama!
Trinity wolf whistles at Hope, who throws a beach towel at her. I elbow Hope in the side.
I told you it looked fine.
The miracle of spandex, she mutters. Trinity had indeed come to help. A grumpier-than-usual Wrath joined her, which means the girl who gives Chance and Alexa their swim lessons has no fewer than 5 adults supervising today. Kendall doesn't seem bothered by the extra scrutiny. For a high school senior, she's always extremely professional. One of the reasons Heidi and I trust her with our kids. Hope's standing in for Heidi today. Earlier, she'd grumbled about her pre-baby bathing suit not fitting until I wanted to wrap the damn thing around her neck. Rock's over in the shade with Grace, watching every move Hope makes. At the moment, that mostly involves avoiding the splashes from Alexa's kicks. Good job, Kendall encourages. Chance kicks his little feet even harder and finally smiles. Rock's phone clatters over the table, drawing our attention. Trinity jumps up and grabs Grace from him as he answers.
Hello, Mr. Sanders.
He motions to us he's going inside. My heart skips. Is that the attorney for Z? Is he getting out? Should I be the one handling those calls? It's almost impossible to concentrate on the rest of the lesson, but somehow none of us drown. Rock returns after swim time is over and Kendall's gone home. The kids are always ready for a nap after swim lessons, and today's no different. Come on, let's get you rinsed off and ready for nap time. Trinity sings songs to the kids, holding out both hands. No nap, Chance yells. Yay, Alexa shouts. Trinity laughs. Sure, no nap, but let's at least rinse off. She winks at me and I laugh. They'll be asleep in no time. Was that the lawyer? I ask Rock after Trinity disappears inside.
Yes. He's going to meet with Z tomorrow morning. Guess he let them have it about Z not getting a phone call or anything else.
I open my mouth to say something. I'm not sure what. I feel so bad I can't be there. Hope looks up from Grace, her green eyes lasering in on her husband. I can go in with the attorney.
No,
Rock says. Behind me, Wrath echoes the sentiment.
Not a good idea, Hope.
I'll be safe, Hope insists, ignoring Wrath. At least let me tell him Lily and Chance are okay. I don't want him worried about them on top of everything else he's dealing with. Rock rubs the back of his neck and stares over Hope's head at Wrath. I'm not sure if Hope knows why I can't go see Z, or if she just thinks it's too dangerous for me to go in general, but God, I love her for offering. I don't want it to cause an argument between her and Rock, but I really need to know Z's okay. She'll know better than some attorney who's never even met Z before. Rock drills her with a look.
Are you sure? You don't have to. I'd rather you didn't. I should be able to visit him in a couple days.
I want to. He's probably worried sick after how the police upset Chance and everything. The lawyer won't know what to say, or how to say it. Rock flicks his gaze at me. Wrath blows out an irritated breath, but places one big hand on Hope's shoulder.
I'll go with you guys.
Rock motions for Wrath to follow him into the kitchen. Hope and I run upstairs, stopping at Chance's room. Are they out? I whisper. Trinity's tucking a blanket around Alexa, who's in the extra bed in Chance's room. Oh, yeah, she answers in the same hushed tone. I need to dry off and change, Hope says. Meet you downstairs? I'll take Grace for you, Trinity offers, holding out her arms. The guys downstairs? We nod, and she carries Grace down the hall. Outside the room Hope and Rock have been using since they came down here, I stop her. Thank you for offering to go see him. Tell me the truth. Are you okay? I know this is awful. I don't know, Hope. I'm all over the place. Lily, it's fine. Remember, I've been there. I remember Trinity explaining that she, Heidi, and Charlotte had grown up around MCs. They've been prepared for this situation from the second they got involved with their men. Hope knew nothing about any of this. And yet now, look how composed she is. Will I ever get to that point? I really do understand. Hope casts a guilty look over her shoulder.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?